Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you who know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Before we get started today, I do want to mention again this week, starting tomorrow, May the 13th, we'll be in what we pray to be revival services over with Central Missionary Baptist Church, located between Purvis and Oak Grove, in the Burnt Bridge area, just off of Madden Road on Central Church Road. Central Missionary Baptist Church will be having services 7 o'clock nightly, Monday through Friday this week. And Lord willing, we're supposed to be with them and their pastor, Brother Wilford Knight. We're looking forward to it. We've been with them in services before, and we've always enjoyed it. They're very good people, very faithful people, and we've always had liberty in preaching there, and we just thank the Lord for another opportunity to get to be with them. But we know that we can't bring revival. We know that we don't have that within us. It'll take the Lord. But we are praying for the services, looking forward to being there and for God's presence to be there, and certainly for the lost to be drawn to Christ and for the saved to be encouraged and revived in the Lord. And we certainly give you an invitation to come and be with them this week. I know they would extend the same invitation. They love for visitors to come and hear the gospel of Christ. They're just good, solid, salt-of-the-earth people, and we certainly love and appreciate them. And if you can't come and be with us in those services this week, certainly pray for us. And I pray that the Lord bless us in those services, that God's will could be accomplished above all else. And certainly we're praying for souls to be saved, and certainly for the saved to be revived. And again, you feel free to come if you need more directions to Central Church. Again, that service starting May 13th, Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock nightly. If you need more directions to there, my number is 601-544-7920. We'll try to get you any information that you need. And also, we do want to get to the message that God's placed upon us this week. Before we begin, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're just thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been far better to us than we deserve, especially being saved through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we're thankful that your salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. But Father, it's settled through Christ to whosoever would turn by faith and belief upon him. Father, we pray that you would continue to open the eyes of the lost, help them to see their need to turn and trust in Jesus before it be everlasting too late. And help us that are saved, Father, that we could serve you, honor you, and accomplish your will. And Father, for the good that is accomplished, let us step aside and give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to be turning, we're looking at what many call the heretical church, or the church at Pergamos. They certainly had some good things about them, but they had a lot of bad things that they were going down. They started to go down some lines that were not good, started to go down some patterns that were not good. And we find that beginning in verse 12 of Revelation chapter 2. And it says, "And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges." That's the word of God. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder of even, you know, body, soul, and spirit. And he's showing us here that God has this word. That's the authority. That's what we go by. He says, "I know thy works." And again, God knows what we do, doesn't he? We can convince everybody else of whatever, but you're never going to fool God, and the authority that God goes by is his word. Not what man says, not what a preacher says, not what a church says, the authority of his word. And you'll see him hold that up right there in verse 12, and then in verse 13 he says, "I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is." Well, Satan can't have a seat in the church. You know, a lot of people have this view that Satan's kind of like a vampire. You hold a cross up to him and, oh, he backs up. That's not reality, people. Let me tell you, Satan not only loves to come and sit in a church pew in a church, he loves to get in the pulpit in the churches. And let me tell you, there's a lot of false ministers, as the Bible says, that he can transform himself into a minister of light. And he has others that are so-called preachers of righteousness, but they're false. They're false. You will know them by trying them against the Word of God. It is very important that we study to know what is truth. We know that by rightly dividing the Word of truth. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't do that. In other words, if you're not saved, you can't do that. And even if you're saved and selfish, you can't do that. This Word is spiritually discerned. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit of God leading and guiding and directing us, we got all kinds of problems. But he said, I know where Satan's seat is. Now Satan himself is not going to come and have membership in a church, is he? But he can use you. Is Satan using you to accomplish his will? You might want to examine that. If you're a minister, is Satan using you to preach his messages from the pulpit? I tell you, Satan's in a lot of churches, but he uses people to deceive them into things that are false. That's why we need to make sure we're going by the authority of Scripture. He says, I know where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr. He was killed for the gospel of Christ, this man was, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Notice where he was killed at. Notice who persecuted him. Notice who put him to death. Where was it at? It was at the church house, wasn't it? Let me tell you, there's a lot of churches that have ran off God's people because they wanted to go the ways of the world instead of the ways of God. He said, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. If you go back in the book of Numbers and read about chapters 21, 22, 23, 24, you'll see this account. And Balaam, you know, he was very careful in what he did. Well, I got to speak the things of the Lord, and I've got to do this. But he showed Balak how he could lead people astray. And all of a sudden, the Moabites started marrying the women and the men of Israel. And their false gods started to be accepted, and their altars were built to their false gods. And they were committing spiritual whoredom, spiritual fornication against God. And it was Balaam who nicely and politically, oh yeah, I'm for God, yeah. But I could show you what you could do. I can't do this. I'm limited. I can only do what God would have me do. But you, now, you could build these places to sacrifice over here, and you could dwell here, and you... Oh, man. Very craftily brought in false doctrine. And you know, there's a lot of people that do that. I actually know a minister one time, and I'm certainly not going to call names or anything like that, but I saw a minister one time that he worked a lot of evils into a church, not by directly coming out and say, we need to go in this direction. But he would craftily say, you know, this is causing division. This is causing problems. We need to let this go. God wants unity. God wants peace. And slowly but surely, he got that church to turn away from God and turn away from certain doctrines and certain things. Oh, God doesn't want us to be like this. God doesn't want us to be this way. Oh, I'm standing for God. And I'm standing in love. And over time, he brought in a lot, as the Bible would say, damnable heresies. That church no longer even knows what they are. They don't know what to stand for. They don't know what to believe. But if you ask them, oh, we're Christian. They just don't know what to believe, though. They're not settled on baptism anymore. They're not settled on salvation. They're not settled on godly living and any type of godly standards in their life. Even fornicators are being accepted as teachers of the Lord. Adulterers are being accepted. A lot of things are coming in because, well, we got to let this go. And this isn't that big of an issue. This isn't the most important thing. And it's amazing through fair speeches what can be accomplished in fair words. And they have the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. How many Christians today are guilty of spiritual fornication? And how many of them don't even know what that means? Because their education level of the Bible has been brought to nothing. He says, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. This is man-ruled authority. And there's some, even Baptist churches, that give authority. Oh, the pastor, he has all authority. Where is that taught in the Scripture? Pastor doesn't have all authority. He's bound to the Word of God. The church where I pastor, if they feel like I'm leading them in a way that's contrary to the Word of God, they have the authority to vacate the pulpit and to remove me as their pastor. They have that authority. My home church has authority over me that if I do something that breaks what's found in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1 is the qualifications of ministers. If I'm preaching heresy and false doctrine, if I've done something that's disqualified myself in the ministry, they have every bit of authority by the Word of God to call me in and silence me as a minister, to where I no longer have authority to preach the gospel. But there's people who say, oh, the pastor has the authority. The pope has the authority. This group of deacons has the authority. This presbytery of ministers has the authority. That is the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And it goes contrary to the Word of God. I am not a lord over God's heritage, but I'm to be a living example before them, leading them in the ways of righteousness. I am not to force them, I am to lead them. I am to point them in the right direction. Even when it comes revival time, and we'll have revival coming up next month at Faith where we pastor, we're looking forward to that, looking forward to Brother Yancey McGee coming to be with us there. Man, I'm looking forward to that. Guess who called him? Not me. It's not because I don't love Brother Yancey, I do. I got great confidence in him. Last year they called Brother Clay Williamson. The church called him. I don't call him. They sometimes ask me, he said, preacher, who do you think? And I say, listen, that's y'all to pray for. My job is to teach them how to lean upon the Lord. And if I'm making all the decisions for them, I'm not teaching them to lean upon the Lord. I tell them, listen, y'all pray as a church. Y'all seek God. And when somebody has somebody burden on their heart, they can nominate them. They can put them forward. And then the church has the authority to vote. And every member gets one vote. Equally. Without partiality. I say, now y'all be led of the Lord in this. Y'all pray about this. That's my job, is to instruct them to pray. My job is to instruct them to seek God. My job is to tell them if they're doing something according to Scripture or not. That's what I'm supposed to do. And I've told them several times, I said, the only time I'll ever say something about a minister for a revival is if I feel like he's a man that's not qualified to preach, or he's a man that's gone away from God's word, and I believe that he would be a harm to the church. And I'm thankful I've never had to do that. I've never once had to do that. I'm thankful for it. I pray I never have to. But that would be the only time that I would stand up, and you know what I would tell the church? I have no confidence in this person. And I would have a hard time working with this person. Or either I can't work with this person. But, then I would have to list out the reasons why. And explain to the church my stance. But the church has the authority, not me. I'm not a lord over them. The only authority I have is what's given me by the Word of God. I can teach them. I can instruct them. I can preach very strongly to them. And be very blunt with them from a scriptural standpoint. But I cannot force them to do anything. I can say I can't take part. As the example of the flock, I can't take part in this because it would be ungodly. I can do that. I have that authority. But I'm not lord over them. I'm to be an ensample to them. And they're to honor me as I follow Christ. But there are many churches that follow this doctrine of the Nicolaitans, or Nicolaitans as some call them. And notice what God says about it. He says, I hate that. You know why? Who's supposed to be the only head of the church? Supposed to be the pastor or Christ? Supposed to be a presbytery or Christ? A pope or Christ? Who's supposed to be the head of that church? Only one head, isn't there? And that's Christ. That's what God wants. And any time man starts stepping in and taking the authority away from Christ, that doesn't sit well with God. And that's why he tells them here, he says, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. That's the word of God again. He said, I'm going to go after them with my declarations, with my word, with my authority. And I tell people all the time, and I tell churches this, if you will study God's judgment upon saved people that turn away from Him, I know hell is not a factor, but I tell you what, if you'll study God's judgment of even saved people that turn away from Him, that judgment is stout. And it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And any child of God that understands that and knows it and knows that they're a child of God would fear that. Would fear being disobedient. I'll tell you this, I never feared my daddy growing up as far as just fearful of him, but if I went against what my dad had taught me, whoo, I worried about that belt now. Getting on my backside. Or a switch coming to me. I didn't fear them. I tell people all the time, I never once feared my daddy clenching his fist and hitting me. Not one time in my life did I fear that. But I knew that if I disobeyed him, if I rebelled against him, that I might want to be mindful of that belt. I didn't fear that belt for no reason. I didn't walk around and think about daddy's belt. Man, daddy might whip me today. I didn't think that unless I was going against what he had taught me. Unless I was rebelling against him. And I'll tell you this, I don't fear God unless I'm going to rebel against him. I know how loving and kind and merciful my God is. I also know that he's a God of righteousness. And he's a God of judgment, and he's a jealous God. I know this much about him. And I know as a child of God that while I'm walking and honoring him and doing things good, I never have to fear a single thing. But I start rebelling against God, I know the punishment he's promised. He doesn't want to do that. But if I rebel, if I go against his words, I'm putting myself in danger because I've chosen that punishment. I knew the consequences. He says, you need to repent. You need to repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give him, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. God's talking about some blessings here, and he's talking about some work. And notice he's saying, listen, if you will listen, he says, I got blessings for you. If you study the Bible, you know that God desires to give blessings a lot more than he likes punishment. If you read Ezekiel chapter 33, you know that God would rather people repent than that he has to bring judgment on them. He gets no pleasure out of bringing judgment upon somebody. When he judges this world, it will be a painful thing for God to do, but he cannot deny righteousness. He cannot deny himself. He will have no pleasure in it. But it's what he must do. And even the churches today, they go out and say, oh, we got authority to do this, and we got authority to do that, and we can turn our way, and whatsoever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Total misuse of that scripture, taken totally out of context. Because you see here in the scripture, these churches started to go a certain way, and many of them went as a whole congregation. Well, we as a church chose to go this way. We as a church chose, and God says, you better repent. We have no authority to go against the Word of God. None. We have authority within sight of the Word of God, within the bounds of Scripture. And that's what was even talked about in that Scripture says, whatsoever you bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. He was talking about church discipline there, which most people have no idea what that even is. That was the context of that scripture. Was dealing with church discipline. And he was saying, if you discipline a member down here, I'm going to recognize it in heaven. And when you forgive them in the authority, in the right way, doing it according to scripture is what he was saying there. If you do it as I've taught you to do it, it'll be honored as well in heaven as it is on earth. It's what he was trying to get across. He was giving churches no authority to change the Word of God. The Word of God is settled in heaven, according to Scripture. It doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. It is unchanged. It is settled. The doctrines are settled. They don't change with the times. They don't adjust to whatsoever man wants. And when churches say, oh, we can go this way, or we can go that way, and we can do this, and we can do that, you better be careful. And my advice is you need to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You need to repent and turn back to God, because there are many churches following the doctrines of Balaam. There are many churches following the doctrines of the Nicolaitans. There are many churches going down false paths and false ways, and they need to turn to the Word of God and see that which is true and repent before it's too late. Even God's churches have to repent when they fall away from the Word of God. How much more those that are lost and without Christ need to repent. Dear friend, today I pray that you see the truth of the Scripture. I pray that you see the dangers of going down heretical paths, of going down things by how I feel and how I think and how I believe and how I see things. Well, I'm not convicted of that. How you feel about doctrines of the Word of God doesn't matter. What it says matters. God says, I will war with you with the words out of my mouth. I'm the one with that two-edged sword. What he's saying is the authority is with Scripture, and you need to turn back to Scripture. That's what we need to do today, dear friends. And I pray that we will while there's time and opportunity. I pray that we'll see where we've erred and that we'll turn back to God and see the need to serve Him in spirit and truth according to His Word. And dear friend, today, if you're lost, if you have some burden on your heart, some question, any way God could use us to be a blessing or a help, we certainly want to help you. We want to be a blessing to you. Nothing wrong with having questions. Nothing wrong saying, well, I don't understand this. Listen, we'll gladly sit down and talk with you. We'll gladly conversate through letters if that's the way you want it. Or through a phone call, text messages, whatever it would be. You feel free. And our number is 601-544-7920. Now, I don't get text messages to that phone. My cell phone number is 601-606-4681. You can text me on that number, 601-606-4681. But you also feel free to write us if you feel more comfortable writing a letter on paper. Our address is Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. You can even email us. Our email, brobrandonh@aol.com. That's brobrandonh@aol.com. You can also look us up with a website we're affiliated with, faithwaymissionarybaptist.com. That's easy to find. If you can't just find it through that, that's all one word together, faithwaymissionarybaptist.com. But if you have problem finding that, just Google Faithway Missionary Baptist. That site should come to the top of the list. And you can feel free to contact us that way. And also, we put our sermons every week on sermonaudio.com, where you can listen from your cell phones, or your smartphones, rather, your tablets, your computers, that you can listen. I think we've got over 215 different messages, 220, something around there, messages online. And I know my pastor put some on there, Brother Brad O'Neill from Clear Branch Missionary Baptist Church. And you can look us up. We'll be glad for you to listen to those messages. I know there's other ministers that we know that put messages on there, so you can listen to many different others. If you want a list of names of ones we'd recommend, we can give you that. But we'd be glad to help in any way that we can. Also, feel free to come and visit us. We have 9 o'clock Sunday morning service at New Zion in Richland, Mississippi. The address there is 341 Cochran Road, Richland, Mississippi. And the zip code 39476. You feel free to come and visit with us there. 9 o'clock Sunday morning service. Just started Sunday school over at Faith and Mobile. They haven't had it in a while. Of course, we work with small churches trying to build them back up. And I'm thankful God's blessed that we've been able to get Sunday school back going. And thankful for that. They start Sunday school at 10:45 on Sunday mornings. Regular service starts at 11:30. 4 o'clock evening service, and then a 7 o'clock Tuesday night service. The address for Faith Church in Mobile, Alabama is 12266 Airport Boulevard, Mobile, Alabama, 36608. Again, that's 12266 Airport Boulevard, Mobile, Alabama. Pray this could be a blessing. To Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll take this message, use it to your honor and glory, and for the good that is accomplished through it. Let us step aside and give you the praise, for it is in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen.